Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8:17 now on this beautiful Wednesday morning. It's going to be a beautiful Wednesday, too, really. Highs of 75, sunny in the afternoon. Maybe for some of us, not quite cold enough for this day in November, this November 6th. But hang on, it's coming next week. This thing in Mexico is just... I don't know that there is a word that would even describe the horror of it, the terror of it, with so many children just wantonly killed. And it seemed as though, at least I think, the cartel knew and didn't just care. Paul Violas joins us, host of CBS's Security Matters podcast, CBS News law enforcement and security analyst. Good morning, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Tommy. Always enjoy the opportunity.
I wish we could do it under better circumstances. What do we know now in terms of, I guess, who is responsible, arrest being made, et cetera?
It appears that one arrest has been made. They've been really vague as to whether or not they're actually going to connect him. They say allegedly he was connected, so we don't know. It appears that he was. Clearly, there were numerous people involved. This was a cartel hit. I would say that's a very safe assumption at this point, that this was not a case of mistaken identity that which has been floating around to people around the United States, having worked tactically in Mexico for many years, actually. I can tell you without question that the cartel doesn't make mistakes like that. It's more than foreseeable. We're going to find out. This family was known to them. They were targeted for a reason. And the fact that not only did they execute, and I use that word carefully, they executed these family members, they also set them on fire. So that theory is far gone. We're going to find out, Tommy, today, possibly tomorrow, the days to come, that this was intentional and there was some type of connection with that family.
Did I read somewhere that for whatever reason, the family or that, I hate to say religious sect because it sounds pejorative, but was it a religious sect, Paul? Let's start there. And had they had trouble with however you define the cartel before that?
Well, it appears that they had, but there's no one is really coming out to say definitively, Tommy, that they had. All indications based on where this took place and the fact that it took place over several miles, so they were hunted. I mean, that's something we really need to understand here. This wasn't a matter of mistaken identity. It wasn't a matter that they were caught in crossfire. They were hunted. So in all likelihood, they were targeted. I mean, that's something we need to really kind of take into consideration here.
Wow.
But Tommy, this also speaks to, you know, something that all of our listeners understand, and this is not a political statement. We need to be careful. Americans need to be careful going to Mexico.
Let me pick it up there, Paul, when we come back, as I heard something from the Mexican president yesterday, or at least the Mexican president turned down the president's help, President Trump. But the theory in Mexico is hugs, not something, as it relates to the cartel, and that really disturbs me. Because especially if you look at the United States negotiating, and I don't mean to get way out of the woods here on this thing, but when you look at the United States negotiating with the Taliban, and now if Mexico is going to try to negotiate with cartels, to me, that lends credibility to criminal organizations, which is not a good thing. We'll find out more when we come back. 820 traffic now, WWL. 25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the tragedy in Mexico yesterday. Paul Violas, our guest, our friend, host of CBS's Security Matters podcasts and CBS News law enforcement and security analyst. In case you're just tuning in, he referred to what happened in Mexico on Tuesday night, I think Monday night, Tuesday morning, as a cartel hit, not a mistaken identity. Paul, when it comes to the whole Mexican, and before the break, Paul was talking about how it's not really, Mexico is not a safe place for Americans to travel. And Paul, that led me to what I heard yesterday about Mexico's dealing with the cartel, which is hugs, not bullets, which just sounds crazy to me. And as a security expert, man, I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to start dealing with the Taliban, which is a terrorist organization, right? Now you're going to start dealing with the cartel as though they have a place at the table when it comes to credibility, et cetera, and negotiating with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It seems to be a bad road to go down.
Tommy, I understand exactly what you're saying, and as always, you're on point. I mean, look, the bottom line is that our responsibility in government, military, and law enforcement is to protect the integrity of the United States and American soil. That's our responsibility. And I'm not saying that we need to go pick a fight, but I am saying clearly that if it's someone starting it, we sure as hell better finish it. And if in the case of the Taliban or in the case clearly here of the cartel, we negotiate from a position of strength. You come after Americans, we'll settle the score. We can't sit back and expect a hug on this thing. We need to settle this because at the end of the day, our responsibility is to the American people and to make sure people go to bed, put their head on the pillow, feel safe. If we don't take this to them, if we don't settle this, don't be surprised if they take this to our soil. And we don't want that.
In terms of settling, what would that look like, Paul, if the Mexicans refuse it? And look, I would like to take a step back here. I don't know in the world how you would determine with this cartel situation who in Mexico you could trust and who you couldn't. In terms of, I guess it was El Chapo's son, right? They said that they went there undermanned or they were outgunned. I still don't know what the truth is there. Do you? And I don't know who you would trust law enforcement-wise. And before the break, you talked about Americans traveling there and to make the connection. If you can't trust law enforcement, I wouldn't go to that country.
Well, see, the bottom line, Tommy, and several points there. One, you know, to finish up what I was saying, you know, I've been advising clients for many, many years now against going to Mexico. Now, this is, again, not a political statement. This is a personal safety statement. I have more problems with Mexican police and the federales than we do with the cartel about, you know, harassing and giving Americans a hard time. We have cases of illegal detention cases just focusing on Americans. So I can't really say that I have a lot of trust at all in Mexican law enforcement. The reference to the second question is, you know, really when you take a look at the totality of the risk as it pertains to going to Mexico, we need to really look at the empirical data. This, again, not to go one side of the aisle or the other, but the empirical data is that this is a dangerous place specifically for tourists. We do know in this particular case, this was a target. This was a hit. And we know that the cartel is a well-organized machine and very well-funded. So when I say take it to them, I mean that we have the ability. We have the greatest intelligence network in the world, Tommy, the greatest. And we just need to use our assets, our human assets in Mexico that we can trust, that we know that we can rely on to give us solid information. That would work like it works everywhere.
Sounds like, and we got to go here for the news, but it sounds like you're talking about the Middle East almost, right?
Well, you know, we protect the country from, you know, all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if we got somebody in Mexico that could harm our country, yeah, that's exactly what we need to do.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again. Paul Violas, thank you, sir, host of CBS's Security Matters podcast and the CBS News law enforcement and security analyst. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Mike Pearlstein about this scam that's going around as it relates to 18-wheelers and getting big $100,000 settlements on faked-up accidents. You're going to want to hear this. When we come back right now, we pause for WWL First News, and for that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.